She bold, she real,
and she's definitely ready. Hey guys, it's your girl Smiley B.
And Eva G.
And Simply One Taj.
Yes guys, y'all heard us right. It's Simply One Taj. Uh-huh. We told y'all that she was going to be back with an update for you guys. I know we've been saying it for a while. I know. But we finally was able to book her, honey.
Y'all know life be life, fam.
Mm-hmm. We was finally able to book her. Everybody's schedules aligned. It was just God. God mm-hmm. worked it out for us. So
the blood of Jesus.
Y'all know she always gonna make out.
Yes. But you knew that song. But when I was just over here singing my song, y'all, they just tried to play me. I was over here singing a song, Complicated by Nivea, humming.
She thought she was singing Complicated by Nivea.
It was not. What was
giving? What's the other? Who up sing the other song?
She said, what was it giving?
It was giving.
Oh, nah.
I've been thinking about you. Who sings that?
Or do you not? Dang, yeah. What is his name?
See, that'd be
think so. Y'all keep on acting like y'all don't know what songs I be singing. Dang.
I was about to say Lupe.
Jay Holiday?
No, it's not Jay Holiday.
Suffocate. Ain't that Suffocate?
No, that ain't him.
Oh. They all over the place.
Our age is showing. Memory loss.
Either way, she was harmonizing with one song to another song's beat, and it was not giving Nivea. So that's what I do know.
Baby, but, struggle.
Yes. So what's up, Taj? What's life been like?
Oh, we. So.
I know, right? Where to start?
Because how long has it been? What? 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. 2 years.
As soon as I went to that academy.
Well, yes, guys. As y'all know, and for those who are new to the Shiboku podcast, Taj started the podcast with me. It was me and her initially. And, you know, the Lord placed her in a different place in her life. And she went to the academy. Last I heard, she was leaving for the academy to be a state highway patrol, which was a big step. And we had talked about it on the podcast. She had been expressing and sharing different things that she was going through with even getting into the academy and all the different tests and tasks
and
that
training.
Was. Yeah,
oh,
and training.
Goodness. I remember when you had to run a certain distance within a certain mm-hmm. amount of time. That was wild.
All of that they require you to do. And, you know, you did it. You did it.
Yeah.
Accomplished it and been doing it. So
proud.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's been very rewarding, I should say. And I like it.
Yeah. Like, is this your forever job? Like, you think you will retire from this?
I don't know.
Because we're not going to say that on the air because...
we were just talking about that.
I'm not sure, maybe, okay. But there is some. I want to look into some other options as
right.
well. There's many opportunities out there that I'm just now finding out about. So I'm just going to keep my options open and pray about it and see what the good Lord says to do.
You know what I have always wanted to ask you, Taj, and I don't think I have. So first of all. Listeners, Taj is pretty as hell, right? I've always wanted to ask you, like, will you pull people over, like, especially men? Do they be trying you?
Mm-hmm.
They be trying
not
you?
Trying me, like, in a bad way as far as trying to fight or get aggressive. Because
no, I'm talking
never
about trying
had...
to get your number, trying to miss
oh, yeah,
the officer.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe like so I had arrested a drunk before, and I took him back, and he kept saying, "Ooh, I don't see no ring on your finger." What's your name? And I was like, it's you know, tell him
officer,
my last
yeah.
name. And he's like, officer. And then he just making up my, he just, Officer G, Officer G, Officer G. I was like, oh, God. So, and we have to record everything. So I'm trying not to smile and laugh because I don't want, when it goes to court or whatever, I don't want them to be like, oh, she's fraternizing. Because it's just funny. It's not, I'm fraternizing
right.
or none of that. But, I don't know. People are hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister was just telling me about a video she had seen where some officers had got to, like, a murder scene, a crime scene with a dead body, and one of the officers was laughing
I
on the
just
camera.
Saw
you
that
seen
video.
That?
Yeah.
Something with the little boy?
Correct.
Yeah, my sister said she's seen that. So that just made me think of that. I didn't mean to get off
and
topic.
And it's not that they're laughing at the situation or laughing. Like, you got to think about it. You see, we see that stuff all the time. And so the way some officers deal with it, they just, to keep from crying, they kind of just,
that's what my sister said. They said it was like a nervous laugh. But my sister was like, she said when she heard it, she was like, no, she was cracking up. But like you say, everybody's nervous laugh is different.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. But like you said, it's like everybody is different. And it is, it's always going to be different over the, over audio or recording than it is in person, because you're not there.
And that's why I know I could never do like a job like that, because how I handle like uncomfortable situations is I definitely make jokes and laugh about shit that I'm not supposed to, like, at all.
Or she don't make jokes, but her reaction is funny and it doesn't be a funny situation. So it's like,
remember.
But she'd be so serious and I'll just be like, it's just not expected. But for me, I don't know what it is. I think that I had to grow it up, like, turn, like, darkness into laughter. So, like, I literally laugh at almost everything, literally. Like, and it's not nothing personal, but I tell people that all the time. Like, even when I used to get in trouble, like, I remember getting a whooping and I was laughing during it. And it, my dad just had to just stop because he was just like, what is going on? But it was, like, literally certain things just humor me. And it's not even, like, I can control it.
That's it's how not, I mean.
It's not how funny, like, I'm laughing at you, but it's just like, I'm laughing. So I get that. Can get that. I can really get that.
And then us sitting together, if we sit next to each other, and then my reaction, and then you always laugh first. Rakita always laughs.
I do. I can't hold it in.
And then when she laughs, it makes me laugh.
Yep. I can't hold it in.
That's how it was. So in the academy, we had to get tased.
Mm.
And do y'all know I laugh?
Do you get to choose where they tase you?
They have a.
Are you like? Do they like say it. 1, 2, 3, go, and you just start running, and then they tase you?
No, it was a little different for us. So we kind of just like laid, because they didn't really want us to get it and then fall or whatever. I don't know. So we kind of already was laying down, and they just kind of put it in there. Oh. So it was. So you got. Well, for me, for us, it was 3 seconds or a 5 second wave. So I did the 3 second wave, and I laughed. And then somebody, one of the instructors, made a comment and was like, "Oh, you think it's funny?" Oh. Like, you know, da da da. So I'm like, "Well, it didn't really hurt. It's you know, but just it was kind of like one of them."
But I do feel like that, because I remember when we were kids, Tajay didn't used to always. Her laugh is so soft and it's so like light. So it's like. She be smiling with her smile so big. She be smiling. Her mouth don't necessarily be open, but she be cracking up. Like, you can see her body moving. And I feel like you were like that, too. Because I feel like there was a time we got, like, yelled at by your mom. I don't know what we did. Like, we snuck out. We came in after dark. I don't know. But I feel like you were smiling. And I was like, I had never, like, seen your mom upset. So I was like, that was the one time I wasn't laughing. Because I was just like, wait, I don't want her to say I can never come over again. But you were like, it was like you were silently laughing. I was like, she like me. We the same.
You know, that made the punishment worse.
So, yeah, I made a comment. I'm like, okay, well, shoot, I'll do the 5 second wave then. So I got the 5 second wave, and I cracked up laughing. And they were like, is everything okay mentally?
Correct,
like,
correct.
This don't hurt. Like, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, I did have a baby. You know, I didn't have no pain medications when I did. So I was just like,
natural.
Well, shoot. This ain't nothing compared to the childbirth.
Correct.
That's so I was just laughing the whole time.
You better not been laughing through no contractions, or I know something.
Oh no, I wasn't laughing
through
them.
Honey, listen, that ain't nothing funny about that.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Well, you know, when I had my first baby, I was induced, so I never felt no contractions. But when I had my second daughter, my water broke on its own. And I was just so excited to get to that hospital, push this baby out. Let's go, let's go. As soon as I walked through the hospital doors is when I felt the first contraction. Y'all thought I was dying. I'm like, no, what is this? Something's wrong. What is this? She's like, ma'am, didn't you have a baby before? That's a contraction. That's a what? Get it out. Medicine. Get it out now. And now I never really felt no contraction until my second baby.
Oh, wow.
Ain't had a kid since.
Mm-hmm. You really be knowing how strong you are when you give birth, honey. But yeah, so the academy was a struggle. Would you say?
Yeah,
because what it was like was 6 months.
And bad we had good and bad days. Yeah, mine were mostly bad.
Are you still like close with the people that you went to academy with?
We were never really that close. Yeah. It's different because a lot of it's weird because I've talked to some of my colleagues now, and they're like, it was only 19 of us that graduated. We started off with like 40 people, but people dropped. So some of my colleagues that I talked to were like, oh, I bet your class was really tight and close with each other because it was only 19. Yeah. And I'm like, surprisingly, the instructors told us that we were the most distance class. Like, there's things that we didn't know about each other that we should have known. I mean, I talked to some of my colleagues now, and they're like, I knew everyone in my class. They had maybe one guy, he said they graduated with like 80 people. He said he knew everybody's spouse's name.
Oh, wow.
If they had a spouse, he knew the kid's name. He knew their birthday. And I'm like, see, our class wasn't like that. I don't even know half the people who had kids that I don't know their spouse or their child's name. It's just, for some reason, we just weren't close.
Y'all was trying to survive.
We had a couple people it was a couple people that end up getting closer. But other than that, if I talk to some of my classmates now, if I see them at a training, I'm like, hey, how you been? Or we got a lot of us are on the same Facebook with each other. Mm-hmm. So I keep contact with them or keep up with their life through social media. But other than that, we don't talk, chit-chat in a group chat or, like, nothing, so.
Oh, wow.
Which kind of sucks, but at the same time, it's like, I get it. Everybody, you know, got a life, and life be lifing.
So. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so what you did their, academy, you did that, finished that. Then you got a post, and you had to start working at a post and things like that. Yeah. So, like, what are some of the, like, craziest things you've, like, experienced being on the road, like, that you've seen? Like, wow.
I would say, like, the fatalities of crashes, teenagers, and, like, fatalities of pedestrians, and just things like that. And I mean, you don't realize how much, because when you're out there doing a job, you're just doing the job. You're like, this is work. You're not thinking about this person's lane here. You're not looking at that because you're trying to get things done, trying to get your measurements for your crash scene, trying to make sure that the people driving by, they're not rubbernecking and recording, and you're just trying to focus on that.
That's what that's called, rubbernecking. Because baby, without jog pass, you know how they always say it's a long line of traffic, and then what the hell, y'all just want to be nosy, and then when you get past it, I do the same thing, break my neck to see what's going on.
I've seen people crash from rubbernecking because they're rubbernecking and they're ACDA and the next person. I'm like, see, that's why that actually shouldn't be rubbernecking. Like, so now I gotta do two crash scenes because you sit over here on a rubber neck.
No, they brake check me.
So
no, but because I was gonna say, like, I know that y'all do a lot of physical preparation in an academy for the position, but what type of, like, resources for, like, mental health do they provide during the academy? Because, like, it's almost like you can't be truly prepared for something like that.
Yeah.
I remember applying to be a 911 operator, like, call 911 center operator, and I remember it wasn't until, like, I had went for the testing, like, I got to, like, step two, when I was, like, you know, I passed the little preliminary part, and I was doing the actual, like, on the computer training to, you know, see who you dispatch for this, that I was like, I might not really be fit for this job because I have anxiety. I freeze up. Like, I probably wouldn't be. I can't imagine getting a call and somebody's like, somebody just got shot. And they're just like, you know, so, like, what did they do to, like, mentally prepare y'all for that type of stuff? Seeing fatalities and things like that.
There is resources that they do offer.
Okay.
If you want to, like, they always say, don't be embarrassed to ask for help. If you need help, ask for it. So they're always giving us, you know, different resources and all that stuff. If, like, you've had too many fatalities, like, in a row, like, for example, I had one month, and then I had one the next month, and then, like, 2 months later, I had another one. And it was like, I didn't even get to heal from the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So someone reached out to me and was like, because I didn't need to speak with anybody. I didn't feel like I needed to speak with anybody. But you don't really know that until you actually talk to somebody and be like, oh, maybe I should have reached out to somebody. So, but they will have somebody. Like, someone reached out to me and was like, I've seen you've handled this, that, and this, and the third, and I just really want to check in with you. I want to let you know I'm here. You know, they just talk to you and ask you about certain stuff, and they'll do, like, some type of questionnaire where they'll ask you, well, how do you feel? And, you know, and depending on how you answer, then they'll just kind of go from there. But my thing is with I feel for dispatchers because, for one, they're the first people getting those calls. And, yeah, our job is hard on the road, but also their job is hard, too, because they have to move quick. They have to get those, you know, they have to reach out to us and let us know. Meanwhile, you got the other person on the other end freaking out, screaming, whatever. So I do feel for them, too, because they're mentally struggling as well, just like, you know.
Yeah, I can't picture you doing that job, because, and then you ask a lot of questions.
No, but I think I would, no, let me not even say that, because I was about to say, I think I would do better than some of these dispatchers, because have y'all seen them clips of, like, those dispatch calls that be coming across Instagram? Yeah. And it's just like, but I was like, maybe I should.
The one about that young like girl that didn't know her address.
Yeah, with the mom and the dad had got shot. And then there was one I just heard with one of the famous football players' wives. I don't know if it was, like, a domestic dispute between them two, but she was scared. Like, you could tell she was scared. So she, like, you know, they're asking her all the questions that she got to ask her. But she, like, can you, you know, usually you hear them say, help is on the way. Correct. But I'm going to stay on the line with you. Like, the woman didn't say that. So she was waiting for, you could tell she was waiting for that. And she was like, so are they on their way? Like, are they coming? Are you sending the people? Like, you asked me all these questions, but are they coming? Because, like, if somebody gets killed, like, that's what she said. And I was just like, y'all, it's like, you have to have that empathy. And like you said, it's like, for me, I was about to say I probably could do it better, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know how long they've been doing it.
Because so you have a lot of empathy. Like, that's what I think.
And that's the thing, too. Some people start off in their career. Like, say, you've been doing this 10, 15 years. The empathy that you had in the beginning, you done heard so much. So the empathy you had in the beginning, you don't have. Yeah. And I've learned that, too, on the road. Like, there's some crash scenes where I've been pulled up to. Like, when I first started, I'm, like, super, like, giving empathy, saying, hey, just calm down, just sit right here, warm up in my car, you know, versus when you got a couple years on, you get there and you're like,
all right, chill out.
Another one. Or, you know, and it's kind of obvious. And I've caught myself one time. I can't remember exactly what happened. There was a crash scene and it really wasn't that bad, but the person was just freaking out. Granted, that was their first crash, young girl, but I kind of was like, here, fill this out, do this, give me, where's your ID, like, you know, because I was trying to rush, and I didn't realize I was being rude, and I had to go back to her, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, mean it that way. If you know, if you felt like I was being a little rude or a little rushed, I'm just trying to, it's raining, it's bad out, I don't want another car to slide off and hit us, and so I'm trying to do it the safest way, but then I didn't realize I was being rude, too, so I was like, and then it kind of, it made me happy, because she was like, yeah, you know, she was like, yeah, you know, thank you for that, blah, 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 and I'm like, actually, just come sit back in my car, just sit with me. And I found what was weird about that situation was there was a truck driver that had stopped and was waiting, like, he had stopped, and I thought maybe he was involved, so I'm asking him, like, were you involved, did you witness this, you know, no, I kind of came up on her after the fact, and I'm like, okay, I'm like, well, you ain't got to sit here, because I've, at that point, her car was disabled, so I had her throw it in neutral, and I pushed her off, because she was literally in the middle lane, and there's traffic, and cars swerving, trying to, you know, so I'm like, hurt, we're gonna throw this bad boy in neutral, and I'm gonna push. And I asked the truck driver, I said, thank God you're here, let's help me push. So we pushed her off the road, and he just kept sitting there, and I'm like, sir, you can leave, like, you can go. And he's like, well, I want to make sure she's okay. I'm like, she's good, I'm here, she's with me, we're good. And he was like, well, she said she needed a ride, because she was from a different city. And so he was like, well, she said she needed a ride. And I'm like, I was like, no, she's okay. I'll make sure she gets to where she needs to get to. So then he's like trying to talk to her and was like, are you sure you're okay? Do you want to ride? And I thought that was weird. And I'm like, what are you into? Correct. What are you into? Because are you into some type of sex trafficking? Because why do you keep asking this little girl if she need, and she's a young girl, why do you keep asking her?
She's with the safest person. She's with the police, with a sheriff. I mean, with a state trooper. Like,
yeah,
she's with
and he like was just pissing me off. So I'm like, so I got more aggressive. I said, sir, you can go. Like, you gotta go. Because you're at this point, you're holding up traffic. Mm-hmm. So you can just go ahead and go. He's like, all right, well, I'll leave. But I always think in my head, and I didn't have no probable cause. I didn't have nothing. He wasn't involved. So it's not like I could be like, there was nothing I could do to get more. Maybe I could have asked a little bit more questions. Mm-hmm. Like, but when you're a young officer, you just don't know what to ask and you don't know. But I always wonder, and I'm like, he gave me those weird vibes to the point
like
where
he do this.
Yeah. And it's like, I wonder if there's something going on. Was there people in the truck? Was there other, you get what I'm saying? So
like, is this what you do? You drive around and wait to see young women that need help?
Yeah, and I'm like, and to this day, I be thinking, like, I really hope that I didn't let, a sex trafficker go or whatever. But there was, like I said, I don't know if he could have just been really concerned for her, too, because that's what it was given, very concerned. But then it was kind of given, like,
creepy.
Like, sir, what? Yeah. You got to go. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think that is the tough part. That is the tough part, too. And I think that's why it's important to have those resources and things like that. Because even like we talked about with the dispatch calls and stuff like that, it does, it could be easily a situation where it's been years and years and years of doing the job. And of course, you start to kind of get burnt out and your attitude changes. It gets frustrating because, you know, like you said, you can't really control what the other person is doing. Like you said, if you pull up to a scene and somebody's freaking out, and to you, you've seen you've seen a million and one accidents, and they've taken a million and one phone calls, but you got to think that might have been that person's first time. Mm-hmm. That was that little girl's first time ever witnessing her mom on the ground fighting for her life. That was that for little girl's first time ever hit in the guardrail and needed, you know, some type of assistance. So it's like there should be some type of like continuing education, mm-hmm. continuing like resources that is provided when you're in those fields, because
or like a mandatory counseling session or something. Because that's what I was okay, you know, people always swear they know about the law when they watch Law and Order. But for real, you know, when you watch Law and Order, whenever Stabler and Olivia would deal with certain situations, it's like the captain would force them to like to go. And
Yeah, and that's the thing. They don't force that upon us. They gotcha. Don't force us to go to anything. I mean, if you need it, the resources are there. But a lot of the time some people don't they just don't use the resources. Mm-hmm. It's just you're so busy on the road and you're so busy day by day that, like I said, it's hard to even know that you need the help because it's just you just keep going. You just it's never no time for you to sit down and be like, dang, that just happened.
Yeah.
You don't really get to think about it unless you go to sleep and you're like you're having some issues where you can't sleep or mm-hmm. then you'll know like, okay. But most people, they just take it a day, one day at a time. They just keep going. They don't never, you never know that you need the help until it's too late. And now at this point, you're like,
because you get officers. Like those are high stress level jobs. Like I was about to sign up to go to EMT school to like help the paramedics and stuff. And my best friend had to tell me, girl, you are the most panicking ass person I know. Why would you go? And I had to really think about it too. Like, you got to know yourself, because that would have been a waste of time and money and education. Mm-hmm. Because my first scene, let me even see a broken pinky, faint, passing out, can't handle it, broken bone.
Yeah. Same. And that brings me to another important point is that, you know, of course, when we started the podcast, you know, we always shared, like, you know, you have a daughter, you know, you're a single mom. And, you know, how has this transition affected your personal life, like as far as being a mom and like, you know, that capacity of your life?
Well, because you work long hours. Of course, you work weekends, holidays, all that stuff. So that's the only thing that has really affected is like you can't make certain events or you can't, you know, you feel like you can't be there as much as you should. I would say that And then, like, missing certain holidays. Because there's times where, you know, I miss Thanksgiving. Or we started Christmas late because I had to work. And just stuff like that. So.
Does she ever, like, accidentally make you feel bad about that? Like,
okay. No. No, she understands. Mm-hmm. Like, this last Christmas, I was working day shift, thankfully. But I didn't get off until 2. And normally, you know, Christmas, we do Christmas in the morning. So, I'm like, I was geeked to be on day shift because I get off earlier, but then I didn't think, like, oh, Christmas morning.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. So I was like, oh, you know what? Santa already came, you know, but you have to wait until I get off to open the presents. So that was, you know, she was like, oh, okay, we can do that. Like,
yeah.
So that was a good thing. So, yeah, you just compromise. You just make it work, you know, even if you're on night. Like, when I first started out, the very, very first Christmas, I was on nights. And so we did it in the morning. I got off in the morning. You know, she stayed was there up. And stayed up. We did that. And I went to sleep for a little bit. And that was it. Got breakfast. And that was, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and the first Christmas, it was just me and her.
Yeah.
So, this Christmas was a little different. Because. Yeah.
So, how old is Paris now?
7.
Okay. So, does she, like, ask you questions about, like, your job? You know, like... kids just be inquiring because, like, she's seen you in your uniform. Mm-hmm. You wear, you know, your uniform. You have, like, the whole belt strap, the gun, the mace, all that. So does she, like, be asking you? Because my boys, they so nosy. So they be, you know, does she ask you, like, Mom, you had to arrest anybody today? Or like
she was. So when I first started, she would ask, what did she used to say? Okay, so instead of saying arrest, she was calling under arrest. So she, did you have to under arrest somebody? And I'm like, you know, and I would tell her certain things. I wouldn't get in a nitty gritty, but I would just tell her certain things. Like, yeah, you know, I had someone, I stopped today and, you know, they didn't have a license or, you know, just whatever. Mm-hmm. Or they had some other stuff going on. And I'm like, yeah, and I arrested that person. Or, you know, somebody was... because she knows, like, kids, they know. So she's like, what if they're drinking and driving? I said, what do you know about drinking and driving? So one time my mom was drinking, Everfresh or something. Uh-huh. She gonna say, Mom, you know you shouldn't be drinking and driving because Mommy can arrest you. And she said, not that kind of drink, girl. Like...
This type of drink ain't gonna do nothing.
Right. Oh, so gosh. So that type of sit, like, you know. And then one time we have to put deers down. So say if somebody hit a deer, and the deer's still alive, we have to put them down. So
why?
Because they can get back
up. You want them to lay there struggling, kicking?
Yeah, you want them to lay there struggling or...
Get up so they won't get back in the street and somebody else hit them?
Yeah.
Okay, so they won't recover. I'm thinking maybe move them to the side of the road.
No,
I mean, I don't know. I never hit a deer. I never hit a deer before. But now I have a different perspective because in my mind, when I ride past and I see a deer dead on the side of the road, I think they just died from the impact. But now I know y'all out here putting them down.
I said some people.
State Highway Patrol officers and the police officers over here.
I said some people do. Like, some animals do die from impact.
Okay.
Some just, you know.
Because they might be able to recover. I mean, I don't know. How do y'all know? Who give y'all the right to make that decision?
Because they will still be there by the time the police get there, I would think. If they could get up and run away,
I mean, if you get hit by a car, would you want to get put down? Your bones go, they go heal. You go get a cast or whatever. You might get up.
It don't matter if you, but if a deer gets hit and their hind legs break,
They're gonna die.
Oh, okay.
Or the coyotes
is gonna come eat them. Or they're gonna get back up and try to move. And then... Now you got another crash you got to handle because another person had hit this deer. And that's dangerous.
Baby, don't let him be a fighter and get up a third time.
Yeah. And
well, y'all just taught me something because I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about
it. And there's nothing. You got to think about it. You're not doing nothing wrong. People deer hunt all the time.
Yeah, valid.
So you're not. It's not like you're out here shooting dogs. And no.
Pets
you're just.
And shit.
Yeah. Okay. It's a deer. And people deer
so
hunt all the time.
So if a dog get hit.
I ain't never had a dog get hit. I don't know.
And the dog is late. She don't want to talk about that.
I don't know about no dogs. But I know them deer, and them deer are huge. They mess your car up. I mean, I done seen deers put people's airbags out and put people in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, it is what it is. You just got to put it down.
Girl, it's a million of them. I hate deer. That's like one of my greatest fears is hitting a deer when I'm driving.
They will tear your car.
Why did you not? I want to knock on wood. I forget how to do
this. We out of deer season now, I think. We're out of deer season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I used to be scared of deer, too, because I just never really understood like what they would do if they like just came up close to you. But like where I live at, there's always deer, and they just like live their best life, and like they just be over there in the little woods area. They don't really bother anybody. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I would definitely not want to hit a deer.
Mm-mm. You don't want to know.
But you know, and then I guess it just depends. Like when I'm on a freeway, I'm definitely paranoid about a deer just sprinting or running across. And this happened to me before, like on Frank Road 104. Like, thank God it was far enough to where I could slow down. But he didn't even look both ways or nothing. Just ran.
They don't, because they said they really can't see that
they
good,
so
right?
Stupid.
I don't.
They is.
No, they can't see.
They are very. Look how small their heads. They're gonna brain. I don't think. They're very stupid. But then, like where I live now, like. There is a lot of deer in my neighborhood, but it's like those are the smart deer because they're
yeah,
be
trying
to
cross them over
the
there
street.
By your house. They just you know? Be that's what I'm saying. They just be yeah. with their family looking for something to eat. You know,
we be
so
having
maybe
deers.
The ones on the freeway are panicking because they're
I
lost.
I think they just yeah trying to get back to where home. You know, and they can't see.
I'm gonna show y'all this picture from when I was in FTO training, which was the field training.
Mm-hmm.
A deer ran into the side of the patrol car, and I'm gonna show y'all the damage that it did. It was horrible.
And then don't let me see
heavy.
A deer with the goddamn antlers, them big ones. Them
oh,
really
yeah.
scare me.
Is them reindeer?
Those yeah. are bucks.
Bucks. And I'm up here.
Them dang on bucks.
Yeah, that makes me nervous.
Yeah, those deer.
Dancer and Brancer.
I had
laughing with shit you say supposed to be laughing about.
I
you
mean,
was just there
hey,
about
was
to cry
the first deer I knew about. Santa's sleigh, you know, but hey.
No, that's like one of my greatest, oh my gosh, greatest fears.
Yeah, because they say like don't swerve them. They tell you to hit them. They like if yeah, you if a deer, they say that. They yeah. say like the road rules, if you see any type of like animal of any nature like running in front of your car, you know your instinct is to swerve it.
Right.
But they said that could result in a worse accident. Like
right.
what so, if you swerve it and you hit another car? What if you swerve it and your car tips over?
Right.
So they say like don't try to swerve, especially not on the freeway. You're on a multi-lane road. Where cars are going 60 miles per hour at the least. And just imagine trying to swerve a deer.
Mm-hmm.
And you get into the next lane, it's a semi truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not supposed to swerve the deer because, like, for that reason. Especially for insurance. So if you swerve a deer and you hit a guardrail, I'm giving you a citation. Even though you're saying you swerved the deer, there's no proof. Where's the deer?
Damn.
So you're going to get cited for failure to control. Because you failed to control your vehicle. So that's...
That's crazy.
Yeah, because I don't have no proof. Where's the proof that you were swerving to avoid something? Because a lot of people say, oh, I swerved.
But what is the citation for?
Yeah.
You get a ticket. Can't control your vehicle.
Yeah.
And now your insurance.
No, the vehicle can't control me.
And now the insurance ain't going to probably, if you get cited for something. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to pay it.
Right?
Yeah, they're not going to pay your damages.
So you might as well just
hit
the
deer. You better hit the deer. You better hit the deer. So
she
yeah.
said, where's the proof? So people be saying that to you, and you be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Here's your citation.
Or people will say,
what if I try to swerve a car that is going fast, like, and driving crazy? Because
well,
you know,
have
you
witnesses.
Ever? But they're not gonna stop on the freeway to tell the officer that you hit the guardrail because a car
yeah,
just cut you off.
Yeah, no, they're not gonna do that. You better off hitting the car, and then they being at fault,
mm-hmm.
so you can get your stuff paid for because. Like, you gotta think, I get it, like, you could genuinely be telling me the truth, but there's no proof, so now it's like...
Everybody would say
and
that.
And then, on my part, if I don't cite you, and now I have to turn this paperwork in, I may have to call you, depending on how my sergeant may feel. If my sergeant reviews this and be like, okay, well, where's the proof that they were swerving? Was there, what evidence did you find that they were swerving? Like, you know, they're going to, and then they're going to be like, okay, well, because I've done that before. I believed the person and they could have just been lying to me. Mm-hmm. And now here I am trying to explain that.
Is there a fee, a ticket? Like, is there a fee that I got to pay mm-hmm. if I'm cited? Mm-hmm. So you want me to pay the ticket and get my car fixed? This is absurd. I need to talk to the mayor about this.
Basically, I mean, because then if I turn in my paperwork and say I take your word and I turn in my paperwork, but my sergeant don't agree, I'm going to just have to give you a phone call and cite you anyway. Oh, so, damn. Like, you're going to, regardless, if you know.
So that's why people be hitting and running. They hit them and they run because it's damned if I do, damned if I don't.
I mean, hey. Oh, my God.
So,
I wonder, do parents be like bragging to her friends and everybody telling them what kind of job you have, what you do?
Yeah, I think so. I know she was a lot in the beginning. This girl, she went to summer camp and I guess she had got in a little tussle or something in summer camp. I don't know. It was something she got into. And
you know, my mom's a cop.
She gonna tell one of the she told one You're of the down, instructors. Buddy. It was one of the instructors had I don't know if the instructor, because they had a bunch of like young instructors that were like college students, like fresh, like I mean 19, 20 year olds, and that, you know, they don't know how, they don't probably have kids and stuff, so they don't know how to really deal with kids. This is just their summer job. She gonna tell one of the instructors, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I'm pretty sure my child was the one getting smart. But she gonna tell one of the instructors, well, when my mom picks me up, I'm just gonna have her arrest you. And so
it was dead ass serious.
So the instructor was like, what does your mom do? And she told her. And so when I came, the instructor was like, can I talk to you? She was trying to be all nice and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna talk to her. But this was the car.
Oh, wow.
And the deer,
the airbags and stuff was out.
And the deer ran into the, that is wild.
And that's poop. That's the deer's, like, guts and stuff.
Oh, Lord.
I should have took a picture of the deer, too. Like, did y'all have to shoot inside, it? No, that one, no, that died. The whole inside of the...
Like, split in like, half.
Oh, yeah, because so, it hit it on the side. It hit the on its side of his body.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh, wow. So, you know, last we heard, you know, you was a single mom, you know, pursuing your career as a state highway patrol officer. And, I mean, I know that people want to know, like, are you still available?
What's the relationship,
like, what's the relationship status given?
It's giving fiance.
Okay. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. Let me see that ring, honey.
Yes. Ooh. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
So how is it? So, like, you know, from being single to, like, in a relationship to now planning a wedding, honey.
It's fun. I mean, it's been good.
Is it not stressful? Like,
but I've been a little stressed because I've been trying to look at venues and everything. It just,
people always say that's like, I always hear people complain about or not available for the dates that you want or something.
Well, so far, the date I want is available for most places, but it's just finding the perfect place. Like, you can find, I found a place that I like, but then they didn't have one of the amenities, so I'm like, well, that's a no. Yeah. And then, you know,
are you being
so
a little
bit. Because I don't know. I don't want to have to pay for extra certain stuff. Like, if I just need something that is all in one,
all inclusive.
Yeah.
So you found your person, honey. Tell us how to do it, honey, because we still trying to figure it out. Me and Eva.
So were you intentionally dating, or did he just come out of nowhere? Like, did it just?
It was like out of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had just graduated the academy, basically, and then. Yeah, like we start after I graduated, we kind of, you know, start talking, and
it just grew.
Yeah, it just grew after that.
See, y'all, stop searching and looking, let them come find you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now y'all got the blended family thing going on because he has a child as mm-hmm. well, right? And then you got Paris. So how is that transition going? Because everybody pretty much, this is your first relationship with like a blended family, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So how is that? Because we talk about that all the time. It's like, you know, me and Eva, we kind of figure like we're done, you know, having kids. So we hope that whoever we do, you know, end up with has either already had kids or kind of just is okay with, you know, mm-hmm. Raising our kids. So like, how is that?
I think it's good. They get along. So it, you know,
they call each other sisters.
Yeah, they do. Oh. They do now, you know. Yeah, so it's been going pretty good. Like, that's you good. Know, they're pretty, they get along with each other. They like each other. They have fun together.
Are they close in age?
Yeah, 6 and 7.
Oh, that's pretty good. So, yeah.
So for the most part, everything's been good.
That's good.
I would say, you know, with the whole co-parenting situation, you know, that's it's good, but then sometimes it has its ups and downs.
Yeah.
So that can be like the only downfall. And plus, you know, certain, if we run things a certain way in our household mm-hmm. and that parent don't run, you know,
yeah.
run the same thing in their household, then that can kind of throw things off. Because, you know, like, for example, I could say, like, maybe my child's father, he may not have as much structure versus versa. So
mm-hmm. that is important. Yeah, we talk about that because it's hard, especially with kids at that adolescence age where they're still trying to learn, you know, right from wrong. And when you have a structured household or you have a set schedule and things like this, and they're here majority of the time, then they're adapting to that. And then when they go over there, it's like, mm-hmm. okay, now they're kind of confused. And it's almost like you can't really even be mad at them.
And then right. they come back home acting different. Remember how Shayla
used to be? I was just about to say that.
Her daughter is perfect.
My youngest daughter, every time she went to her dad's house and she came back, it's like I had to retrain
Diva.
Her teacher.
She would like literally.
Yeah.
It you know, like, but when she's at my house, she's the youngest. When she's with her dad, she's the oldest. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I definitely understand now.
Yeah.
Yep. So
that's good. I'm excited.
That can be a little challenging.
Yeah.
That is so exciting.
That is exciting. I mean, literally, it's just been like a complete 180.
I know.
Since you last was with us. You know, like career-wise, personal-wise,
mm-hmm.
all of that. So that's why it was super important for us to, like, you know, catch up with you. I know, like, we've been telling the listeners we was going to do this. And it's, you know, perfect timing, you know, like literally.
Yeah,
just got
perfect.
So much stuff going on. So it's safe to say you happy, honey.
Yeah.
You happy with where life is at for you right now.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
Everything falling into place. I love mm-hmm. it. Oh, I can't wait to your wedding. I've been telling people.
You don't even know if you're invited.
I'm
girl,
invited.
That's what I hope with the ass.
Can
like,
I bring a plus
even...
one? I'm definitely invited.
Oh my God.
So let the girl get the ding. That's another thing too. We gotta figure
and
out.
I want to help. Let me know what you need.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know what you need.
Well,
oh,
you
I love
help,
weddings.
Because I want to do a bachelorette party, but I want to do it in Vegas.
Oh!
So,
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's going to be a time. And it stays in Vegas. That's going to be a time.
Yeah.
No, I've been talking about that for the longest. Like, it is just, I am so ready to go to a wedding. Why isn't anybody getting married? Like, I'm so ready to be in a wedding.
Girl, so I just got asked to host my uncle's wedding. Whatever that means, and yes,
correct.
In June. So, yeah,
I'm so host.
Yeah,
yeah. What,
so you're gonna be
what
working
is that?
And not
what,
enjoying
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, no, I think like
mic.
You host. Like I think I host like the beginning of the wedding, and then like the beginning of the reception. I don't really know. I have to sit with them and see what this is all about.
Yeah,
because I don't know what I'm signing up for.
Anybody else in the family offended?
I don't know.
They
didn't tell me that was.
No,
my sister didn't tell me because, you know, she thinks she his favorite. but yeah, it caught me by surprise, honey. Because, like you said, I done been to a few weddings and I'm just okay with just coming and sitting in and being, you know. But I mean, I guess it's okay to be like the first face people see. I don't know. Maybe I'll meet my Mr. Right.
all my friends, all everybody keeps saying that. They're like, maybe I'm gonna meet somebody at your wedding. And I'm like,
this, that's what I be thinking about in my head. Like, I love to see a good union and all of that. But honey, I be looking like, wonder, you know, because you in your mind, you just think like, these were the like upstanding, nice guys going to be.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially because I plan on having some people from work come, maybe. Okay. You know, some I'm kind of, you
know. Who can protect me? You know,
so. Or not even necessarily from work. I would say I have other friends that are in law enforcement with other agencies that I may extend the invite to. So,
yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. I gotta figure it out.
That's what's up. Because we had talked about, I feel like we talked a while ago, one of our episodes about like, what is the time frame like you think? Because like, that you think like you would know you're your person. Like, how long are you willing to wait before it's like you want that proposal or whatnot? Because like, how long y'all been together?
2 years.
Yeah, I think that's like.
Damn, really? That flew by.
I think that's a good time. I think that a year to 2 years is a good time to know if you want to marry somebody or not. Like, I don't want to.
But they say that men know within like 6 months or something.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how he basically was. He was like, I knew since day one.
So he told you that y'all was gonna get married already.
Yeah.
I love that for
you. Y'all had talked about it before. Yeah, you just didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know when he was gonna do it or ask, but he said he knew. He ain't want to, like, you know, say it off the back, but that, like, now, he's like, yeah, I've been.
And ain't that crazy, because he probably didn't want to say it off back, because people look at it like, oh, that's weird, or that's corny.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't really express yourself, because then it's like, oh, you know, is she going to think I'm weird, or she going to think I'm, like, you know, what is it giving? But it's like, you should be able to express yourself as a female or a male and be okay, like, in that moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because do you think he was already at a time in his life where he was looking for a wife, or do you think it kind of caught him by surprise, too? Like, was he just like, you know, I'm just living my single life. If it happens, it happens.
Yeah, that's how it was.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it was.
Okay.
And that's just how I felt, too. Like, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already in this new career. I'm already stressed enough. I don't need extra.
No, for real.
Yeah.
Is he like super supportive of like your job and everything, or does he worry about you? Like, if you
say he worries, but especially when I was on nights.
Yeah.
But he's supportive, though. He gets
That's good. And I remember us even talking about that too, like about, you know, starting a career and being able to flourish professionally and still have a romantic thing. Mm-hmm. But that just shows the level of maturity, because we had talked about that before with you on an episode about maybe one of your like exes and how, like, you know, I think that's what drove that topic, was like, you know, is it harder because, you know, people, you don't have the time to dedicate to this person or whatever. And it's kind of like you have to choose. And I think the discussion was like, can you be successful and still, you know, strive for your career? And that's just like, you know, proof in the pudding that you can. You can go for both if you have the right person backing you. You know, if you have that person who has the same type of, you know, belief in you and that same type of drive behind you, it's like, you know, we doing our own things professionally, but we still are investing in each other, rooting each other on, speaking life into each other. So that's dope.
Yeah.
Is he a God-fearing man?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You sound like my neighbor, Mr. Goddamn Jill.
Because we be praying. We definitely be praying together.
Sure. That's good.
I mean, you know, I go to church and I try, well, at least I try to as much as I can, because now my schedule's a little bit more open, so I can. But before, I was missing a bunch because I was working Sundays.
And, yeah.
So, but now it's a little bit more open. So, we're going to, you know, try to get into the role of going together and all that stuff. Plus, I want my bishop to counsel us before we get married.
That's
so,
now, how is it between your fiance, because we got to put the respect on it, but like the relationship between your fiance and your daughter, like, do do they mesh well? Does he?
Everybody gets along.
Does she take his? You know, he has to get on her and tell her his authority. Wrong stuff too. Thank you.
And he has a good way of doing that. With like me, I'm the yeller. I'm like, get out here! What's all that noise? You know, he don't do all that. Like he does. He talks and he's like, and he has a way to them.
Gotcha.
Me, I'm yelling. I'm screaming. I'm like, it's time to eat, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Y'all need to clean this room up, you know, and I'm always, it's like,
same.
Just, you know, the more just yelling and all that. So, but him, he's like, oh, y'all know y'all shouldn't be doing, you know, he's all calm about it. And then they listen.
They listen better to men anyways. They listen better to their dads. Like, I promise, my daughters,
same.
They give me the hardest time. And then their dad, he don't even
But
have
maybe
to
it is because
voice.
Of our approach. I don't know. It now that you think be. About it. Think because so. It's like they it almost makes them act the opposite. Like, but, my son told me, like, I went to his parent-teacher conference last week. And I love how his teacher does, like, their end of the quarter, she does an end of the quarter interview where she asks them like things about them and like their behavior and like, is anybody picking on you? Like, you know, or what do you think you can work on? Or what is your strengths and weaknesses? And she presents those to the parents at the parent-teacher conference. I love it. And I have seen how his answers and stuff has evolved. And even like this quarter was probably the best one. Like, I feel like was like, okay, I'm understanding my son more because he gave like straightforward, like his honest answers. Like, he felt like, you know, sometimes he is the more problematic child in the room. He admitted to that just because of his attitude. And he said, what is something that he feel like he can work on? He said his attitude, because when people yell at him, like, or come at him like that, it makes him frustrated. And so then he shuts down, and then it's like, now it's a combative thing. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, oh, you know, now his teacher can understand how to, you know, come at him. And the same with me. It's like, it kind of, because I am initially like, ah, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like going off, trying to get my point across because that's how I was raised. And, you know, you just think that's how the point gets across. But it's like, well, maybe if I come at you in a calmer manner, you won't get so defensive. Your guard won't go up and you won't shut down. Now I can understand that, you know? And I feel like with men, it takes them a lot to start yelling, like, and putting their authority down. It's like, they got to say one thing and it's cool. But it's like, we just go 0 to 100.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, because I've done it both ways. You know, if I'm already having a long day or whatever, and y'all already know this supposed to be done, or we got to do this, or you know, I have had those days. But I feel like it's 50-50, because there are times when I will calmly tell my children, hey, you need to do this. Hey, I already said it nice. Okay, this is my third time saying it. And you get mad when I holler.
Yeah,
or
three
I just
times.
Had a conversation with my oldest. She's 11 now. And I mean, I was just, now she's older. So our conversations are conversations, because now I'm teaching you about life. It's just not about you're in trouble or anything like that. Like, honey, every lesson that I'm teaching you, I'm explaining how you're going to need to understand this for when you're an adult. Like, yes. I'm already talking to her about that. You're in middle school. Like, we got to get serious about this stuff. And so I was just chewing her out. I wasn't yelling, cussing, or anything like that. And just explaining how I'm disappointed about this and this. It's, Mom, you could have just yelled at me. Like, that hurt her even more.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm just telling you calmly, I'm very disappointed. I've taught you better. I expect better.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even really look at you right now. Like, that's how sad you just made me. And she was like, oh, you could have just yelled at me or something. So I don't know.
It's so 50-50. I think it's 50-50. Like you said, yeah. I think in some cases it's like, you know, the yelling, like you said, after 1, 2, 3 times of saying the same thing. Yeah. All
right.
But
now,
like you said, I think we all can agree it's more productive and there's more of an understanding of what it is that you're saying to them when you're calmly breaking it down like that. And then also it's more impactful because, like, they're like, oh, you're disappointed in me. Like, that made you feel sad. Like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like when we're yelling at them, sometimes they're not listening. They hear us because we're yelling. We're yelling. But it's like to listen and really listen to understand. And that's what I was saying with my son, is like, I want you to listen and understand, because then the next time if we do have to have this conversation, it is going to be different because I know that now you understand, because we made sure that was clear. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's so good. That is such a balance, though. She said, I'm the yeller.
Yeah. And then, like, you don't know how, like, see, I don't know how she's disciplined elsewhere either, you know. So you just don't know. Like,
that's true.
You don't know if the other person's a yeller or not. So you just don't know. So mm-hmm. it's like, well, shoot. Mm-hmm. So you try to do the best, you know, and be the calmest as you can. Like, hey, you know, just make sure y'all do this, do that.
Mm-hmm. I think but it comes with building a bond, too. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like once that other person learns and builds a relationship with your child, then it becomes easier to learn the approach, mm-hmm. you know, than to just coming in and, like, not really knowing and having that connection. It's almost going to be like, who he talking to? Or yeah. who's she talking to? Like, yeah. not me, you know. But when you have a level of respect and you have that connection, you understand, okay, this is not my biological mother. This is not my biological father. But this person cares about me. So, obviously, you know, what they're saying means something, you know.
Yeah. Means well.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's I good. Never, you know, I never, everything I say is for a good mm-hmm. reason. It's not, no, I'm never being mean, you know, I'm not a mean person, so right. I'm never going to be mean or nasty about anything, but if something needs to be done, it needs to be done. If you're eating too much candy, you're eating too much candy. Chill out. Like, yeah. you need to brush right, your teeth, brush your teeth.
And so you said they're 7 and 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And 6 and 7.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, so y'all got 2 girls at the house, and you know, I have 2 girls at the house, and so my oldest is now 11. So yeah, they think you wasn't being the bad guy, but now like it's head like butting heads like. And my daughter Shania was the most laid back, most chill, and she is still. She's an amazing kid. Great grades, athletic, you know, very mm-hmm. helpful around the house with her sister and stuff. But when they just hit that age, it's like the inevitable, like attitudes, like both yeah. of us. So, whew, give it a few more years. Mm-hmm. Give it yeah. a few more years. Yeah. So, something that I think, like, what do you think the next steps are now, right? So, when the podcast was going, you know, we all were like working on like these big things in our lives, these big changes.
Yeah.
You were getting ready, getting prepared for the academy. You were going to school, getting prepared for your real estate. Mm-hmm. And then I was in the interviewing process trying to get a promotion and all that good stuff. And everything that we spoke about, like it happened.
Yes, came to fruition for sure.
So can we run it back? Because I'm in need for, come on, Lord. I'm in need. I'm ready for something else. So what do we see happening for us? Like, what are our next steps? What are our next goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, I feel that, of course, growing the podcast. I definitely want to continue to grow podcasts. I see live shows. I see live shows. I see us traveling, interviewing different guests. I see, you know, of course, I'm still doing the real estate thing. So I still see, you know, me. I want to start being more on the investment side of things. With that, hopefully, you know, the Lord is working on my husband. I've been praying for him every day. So, yeah, you know, hopefully I find my person soon or my person find me soon. And, yeah, like my oldest, he's about to be going to high school soon. You know, I got 2 more years with my baby in, you know, middle school. And things is moving fast for him. He's in sports and traveling. He's done so much traveling this year. So, really just, you know, continuing on this path and just growing closer to God and working on them things that, yeah, I spoke about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to speak it into existence.
Yes. Amen.
So, for me, I would say, of course, like, you know, building my relationship and my faith more. Yeah. Because, like, you know, sometimes I feel like I fell off ever since mm-hmm. I went to the academy. And I do want to purchase a home.
Mm. Honey, so, I'm your girl.
Yeah.
I'm your girl.
Want to purchase a home. And then career-wise, that's still kind of up in the air. I do want to eventually... the thing is, I keep saying I want to get into investigations or into polygraph or something like that. So,
I can see rather you being a detective.
Rather it's in the patrol or with another agency. I don't know that. So that's just something I got to keep praying about and just seeing what vision God mm-hmm. gives me. If He shows me another vision and another way, then that's what it is. So. Me just trying to figure out my next moves because, I don't want to be a state trooper for the rest of my life. Like, I just don't want to be a road trooper. I want to elevate and
do other for things, sure. So. and planning that wedding, honey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I ain't even I include that because that's like.
Oh, know. I meant to ask you too. Do you guys want more kids?
Yeah, one more kid.
Okay.
One more. I got one more in me.
You want a boy or does it matter?
I want a boy.
Uh-huh. Period. Mm-hmm.
I got one more in me, but okay. Who knows? I don't know when that's going to come. So. Right. I got too much, you know, trying to. Dude, it's never like a right time.
At all.
Yeah. Correct. So. I think since we're speaking things into existence and we know something about. It's power in our words because, like we said, Amen. It all, Amen. And we have all our listeners, they all went through the journey and know all of the work that we put. And that's something we need to emphasize, too. We didn't just pray and hope for things. We prayed, we hoped, and we all put in a significant amount of work.
Oh, for sure. For
worked
sure.
our tails off for sure. You know. So I would say for me, I don't think my stuff is, like, as, I don't know, like, as big as what both of you were saying. But for me, I think I'm in the season of just, I'm just really focused and thinking about every day. I'm just thinking about like my mental health and my physical health. Like I just want to work on like my healthiness. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's what I'm working on and praying for. And that's what it is for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll pray that for you too, cuz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She take care of a lot of people, honey. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to, you know, give that same energy to yourself because you deserve it.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because I ain't going to be no good to nobody else if I'm, not good for myself. So.
Yes.
Your hair looks good.
I'm glad you went because she said she wasn't going to go. So yeah. I was like, I'm glad you still went.
You know?
That's why I was like, why are you canceling? That's why I was asking. I'm like, why are you canceling? Like, y'all can still go get your hair done before we record.
I just felt like it was just going to be doing too much. I had a lot of stuff planned. It's Easter weekend and all that stuff. And that's another small step that I had to take. And I mean, and I don't know if anybody else out there deals with this, but it is really hard for me to intentionally, like, take care of myself. Like, it's not easy. For me to just go get my nails done, go get my hair done. And I'm not talking about like finance wise or time wise. It's just something always makes me feel like, well, that's in time and energy or funds I can put into something else or somebody else, you know. So I'm so proud that I still you know. So I went, got my little, well, he didn't have to trim my ends this time because last time I went, my second month in a row, y'all. So I'm like, And I think that's what's gonna help with like, you know, the mental health part of
for
it.
For sure.
Like,
absolutely.
Taking care of me and taking time out for myself because I go and look back and I'm like, I used to be the girl like you wanna caught me without a bust down middle part sew in, like you would have caught me without my nails and you know all of that stuff done. And I'm like, I want to get back to just worrying about me and taking my time out for myself and not feeling guilty about that. Like that's okay. Yeah.
For sure. I love that.
So I can't wait for a year to pass
and see the recap
everybody's stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's at. Yeah. Well, we thank you again for coming on, making time to give us an update, day one. So we appreciate that. And of course, you know, this ain't the last y'all heard of Taj. I know, you know, life has directed us into so many different paths and things like that. But we're going to continue to get updates. We're going to continue to have her on, you know. So, yeah, guys, until next time, stay bold.